I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are live at Target Field. What an absolutely beautiful day. It's hot, but it's summer. That's what you want, isn't it? I think it's what you want. Welcome to Drive Time with DeRussia. Dan is here. I am here. No batting practice today at Target Field in advance of 7, is it? It's 6:40.
6:40 first pitch, so pregame will start at 6 o'clock right when we're done. Bit of a late evening last night for all the lads, so I'm sure they had a late call time today, and they're going to pass on batting practice. Maybe doing some work back underneath in the cages, but that's about it.
I am not sure what's going on here tonight.
There's a lot of tiaras around us
right
now.
There are so many tiaras here at Target Field. We seem to have, like, the princesses and the royalty from all over Minnesota, all the ambassadors. I saw the Melrose ambassador. I saw Derry. Can I ask one of our royalty members? We're on WCCO Radio. What are you guys doing? What's going on here? Can I ask you a question? Don't be afraid. You have a giant tiara. What's your name?
Denali Joe.
Denali, nice to meet you. You're from Glencoe?
Yes.
And what is going on? Why is there so much royalty here at Target Field?
Because we wanted to come see the game, and now we're going to go have a parade on the field, I'm pretty sure.
Is this what your life is mostly now that you've become an ambassador? You're a prince. Are you a princess or a queen, do you consider yourself? You're a mitt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What's the difference?
I just have a bigger crown.
So it's very large. I mean, we're on the radio, so it's a good 4 inches tall.
Yeah, it makes me really tall.
Yeah, that's good, right? That's a little power for you. I like it.
Yeah.
Is your life mostly parades now?
Right now. I've only been doing this for a month, so I'm still getting used to it, but it's been mainly parades, yeah.
It's not bad.
No, I love it.
Yeah, I love a parade also. I used to be a TV news guy, and I would get to Grand Marshal a parade. And it's all, you know, it's the wave. Like, do you do the stereotypical princess wave? Or
this one.
Or you do it, it's a cross. Do they teach that?
No, it's just whatever everybody feels like doing.
I like it. All right, you go back to school. Where do you go to school?
Glencoe Silver Lake High School.
And you'll be what year?
I'm a senior now.
You're a senior?
Yeah.
Rising senior. And then off to school maybe, or you don't know?
I don't know where yet, but I have a few ideas.
All right. Well, maybe radio future broadcaster here. I don't know. You have very good presence to be absolutely, accosted here at Target Field.
You make me nervous when you just turn around.
You know, throughout my life, I've had that effect on women, so it happens all the time. Thank you for being on CCO Radio.
Thank you.
All right, very good. There it is. You know, I mean, Dan, when you see, like, 45 princesses,
yeah,
you sort of got to ask what the heck is going on.
You do.
And since we're asking what the heck is going on, why don't we do the D-Rush Hour News headlines? Let's do the lead.
The headlines you might have missed. Without missing a beat. This is your fast pass through the biggest and most impactful stories of the day. Welcome to the D-Rush Hour headlines. Starting with the lead.
And our first story in the lead, obviously, as we continue to follow the cyber attack, the newsroom doing a great job covering what's going on in St. Paul. I want to start as a guy who is, you know, Medicare is something that I can see from where I'm standing. Medicaid is a lifeline for so many people who need access to medical care. And the state is sounding a little bit of an alarm as to how much money in Medicaid funding is at risk because of the new law passed by the Republican Congress. 140,000 Minnesotans may lose their coverage over the next 4 years. That's about 12% of enrollment. And I wanted to know, all right, what's going on? Are people really getting kicked off who shouldn't be kicked off? Or is this something else? Let's bring in the Minnesota Medicaid Director, Dr. John Connolly, on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. John, is this about people who will no longer be eligible, or is this the state maybe a little more concerned about people falling through the cracks on all the new paperwork that's required?
No, it's really that the vast majority of people who are in the program presently are working. So we know that two-thirds or more, even according to some estimates here in Minnesota, are working, and that's among people who are working age, so 19 to 64. We know that those who aren't working, the vast majority of that group, so the remaining third or fewer, actually have a reason under the new federal law that would cause them to be exempt from the work requirement. So they have a reason for not working, which includes things like caregiving, things like a chronic condition or disability that or they're in school, for example. So that leads them not to be working. And really only a small share, a remainder, you know, less than 10% are not working without one of those reasons. So really, the vast majority of people in the program currently meet the requirement or actually would qualify for an exemption. So this is you know, an issue where we really worry that people who are qualified will lose their coverage or lose their eligibility as a result of the new paperwork requirements and the red tape associated with them.
John Connolly is with us, the state Medicaid director, DHS deputy commissioner. In Minnesota, we call Medicaid medical assistance. Who is on medical assistance in Minnesota? What is the bulk of that group of people?
That's a great question, and it's a broad range of different folks. So it could be pregnant women, it could be children, it could be people with disabilities, older adults in skilled nursing facilities, and it could just also be families who need health coverage because they've had a challenging or difficult economic situation. So it's a wide variety of folks. The program covers just under 1 in 4 Minnesotans presently.
So who has to process this new paperwork, this new requirement? I mean, what sort of outreach is going on to make sure that at least as many people don't kind of fall through the paperwork cracks here on this as possible?
So for Medicaid and or medical assistance here in Minnesota, as we call it, the counties and tribal nations do the vast majority of the eligibility and enrollment work for the program. A lot of the workload could be handled through information systems. We're trying to explore the most streamlined way that we can handle these processes electronically. But we do know some share of this work will have to be done manually or on paper.
This isn't happening immediately, is it? When do these big changes really start to take effect?
No. So the two requirements that we've talked about related to eligibility will be implemented at the end of next year and into 2027. So those two things take effect at the end of 2026. And that's when those come into effect in tandem. There are other provisions of the bill also that begin to come into effect in 2027, 2028, 2029 and beyond. So it's really staggered over a number of years. I should note a few provisions have already taken effect because they were essentially effective at enactment.
Got it. But we have some time at least to get the word out and try to get used to whatever sort of infrastructure is going to be needed here to try to at least make sure people who need coverage are still able to get it.
That's a really good point. So we're really focused on two activities between now and the end of 2026 when these provisions take effect. I think the first is, as I described, making the process as streamlined as possible, both for the person applying for or renewing their coverage, as well as for eligibility workers in the counties, in addition to communicating with the community and with program
sure.
members and those
yeah.
who may be applying for coverage so that they can get through the process successfully and maintain their coverage.
Makes sense. It's good to be talking about it early. It's big numbers. It's eye-popping. So hopefully we can streamline that as best as possible. John Connolly, State Medicaid Director and DHS Deputy Commissioner. We appreciate the time. Thanks, John.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Next up in the lead is good news if you are Ilhan Omar. Star Tribune reporting today that it looks like nobody wants to run against her. Frankly, I am 0% surprised at this. Ilhan Omar has been elected time and time again, and probably the strongest opponent was Don Samuels the first time he ran. But the reality is Ilhan Omar is an outstanding representative of her district's views. You may think she's too far left, but this is that district. It's the core of Minneapolis, some inner suburbs. But at this point, it sounds like nobody's going to run. For the first time ever, Governor Tim Walz, Senator Amy Klobuchar, endorsing Ilhan Omar early. Everybody, Attorney General Ellison, Senator Tina Smith, all backing her, all of them together. Top-tier candidates are saying, I'm out. Don Samuels, no. Former DFL Majority Leader Ryan Winkler, no. The reality is, nobody significant is going to run against her, and she is going to be reelected once again. Next up in the lead, if you are like me and you went to the 3M Open this weekend, you probably threw out some trash. And the good news is your trash is going to become electricity. I thought this is so cool and so interesting because at least something good is going to come out of that half-eaten pita that I threw in the trash at the 3M Open. Varesco is the name of the company that's doing it. Joe Burke is with us on CCO to talk more about it. Joe, this is really, really cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool stuff, right? Taking food waste and turning it into renewable energy is pretty unique, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, your Varesco is in Turtle Lake, and how do you do it? How do you turn this is mostly the food trash, right? Like my half-eaten pita with a steak on it is out in Wisconsin now.
It actually got to Wisconsin today, so it's out there. It's called anaerobic digestion, and it's a biological process that it breaks down the food and turns it into a form of methane gas, and it's called biogas. It's like a cow's stomach.
It's pretty amazing, and it goes right from your facility, kind of gets sent into Xcel Energy's power grid. Is that how it works?
It does. So the particular product from the 3M Open goes to our depackaging facility, right? Because that half-eaten piece of food that you threw away might have had a paper napkin around it or been in one of those boat trays.
I use napkins. So, yep, there is a napkin in there. Yep. There is a boat tray. Yep, exactly.
Yep. So those are separated out from the actual food waste. And that food waste that goes into these huge tanks there, we have about 5 million gallons worth of tankage on site. And that product, that food waste, you know, it's ground up and it goes into these tanks. And biology takes it and breaks it down and turns it into methane gas or biogas. And we run that through two big generators, and those generators are synced up to the Xcel Energy power grid right there in Turtle Lake, Wisconsin, and we put it right on the grid for Xcel Energy.
That's so cool. Joe Burke is the CEO of Varesco. And Joe, you guys are doing this for the 3M Open, but you're doing this for all sorts of breweries and grocery stores and food factories. This is all around the country, kind of with as cutting edge and state of the art as it gets in this area is what you guys are doing.
You're exactly right. We have a patented process around this. We worked for a number of years with our patent attorney and the USDA, and we take a bunch of food waste from cheese producers, from the 3M Open, and turn it into electricity.
I love it.
So we've taken feedstock from as far away as California, New Jersey, and Tennessee. But the vast majority of our feedstock is here in the upper Midwest.
It's pretty cool. Joe Burke, I hope you guys make a ton of money. And it makes me feel great that we're able to kind of close the loop a little bit and take some of this food waste, which is such a problem in our country, and do something good with it and make some electricity. Cool, cool stuff.
Well, I appreciate that you appreciate that, Jason.
It is cool stuff. Joe Burke from Varesco. That is the lead. Page 2 is coming your way in just a couple of minutes. We will talk a little bit more about the federal prosecutor who has been targeting fraud in Minnesota. And which state fair is the best? Why am I so irritated by this story in the Pioneer Press, Iowa or Minnesota? We'll talk about that when we come back. Live at Target Field, Twins baseball here on CCO Tonight.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
The Rush Hour News headlines continues with page two, and we start with the federal prosecutor who's been targeting fraud in Minnesota. Star Tribune with a profile of Joe Thompson, the acting U.S. attorney. We've had him on the show. Attorneys I've talked to have been quite impressed with him. So the Star Tribune with this Q&A, Dina Winter. Turns out Joe's an Osseo High School grad. He led the prosecution, the Feeding Our Future fraud, which former U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland called the nation's largest pandemic relief fraud scheme to result in charges. But he's really been going after this massive scheme in a state housing stabilization problem. You have heard him say, he was on with Chad, saying that the amount of money lost is over $1 billion. If I were a Republican running for office, I would talk about fraud. And then I would talk some more about fraud. And then I would talk some more about fraud. Fraud, 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 fraud. That would be my campaign. Because it's not good. Thompson worked at a Chicago law firm. What I find interesting about him is he's not, as far as I don't know what his politics are. He's not a Trump guy. He's not getting the permanent gig as U.S. attorney. But you know, he joined the U.S. Attorney's office in Chicago, he said, the day Barack Obama was inaugurated as president, which he said, what a memorable day in Chicago and then in his life. But he did a lot of gang prosecutions, a lot of fraud cases at the U.S. Attorney's office there. And then coming here has been pretty cool. Which state fair would you say is the best state fair? Is it Minnesota or is it Iowa? Sure, yeah. Our state fair is a great state fair. This, to me, is like, I'm unreasonably irritated at this story in the Twin Cities Pioneer Press. My friend Kathy Burden writes this story, and I'm like, well, finally. Kathy is not going to mamby-pamby around and equivocate. She is going to write a real story and make a real determination. And she laid out a lot of evidence if you want to compare Iowa and Minnesota. It's not all vibes, right? So she said, so there were three former Des Moines Register employees who went out and did this thing last year. So she's had a year to think about how she was going to write a story that finishes saying, well, you know, whichever one you like the best is the best. Like, Kathy, come on. The headline says which one is truly best. And then the last paragraph of this story says, well, I don't know. Why did we bother? Why did we bother? This thing is so long. And then at the end, the verdict. Our resolve to name the best of the two state fairs melted like a butter sculpture on an asphalt parking lot in August. There's so much to love about East. Just delete your journalism card. This reminds me of a time in 2019 I asked Amy Klobuchar which state fair was better. And did she answer the question, Dan Cook? Do you think Amy Klobuchar, who at the time was running for president, would give me a straight answer on the WCCO Morning News?
That would be no.
Hell no.
No.
This is easy. You are allowed to take a position on something that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
You're not going to lose the Iowa primary if you say the Minnesota State Fair is better.
You're from here. It's fine. Our State Fair is better. Iowa, you can suck it, as far as I'm concerned. 531, that's the D-Rush Hour News headlines.
which is in jeopardy of being canceled.
Quite clearly, yes.
That's fine. Dan Hayes, he's not a coward Kathy is.
He'll tell it like it is.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.